This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. You made it to Friday. It's March 8th, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you. I'm Cisco Cotto. We have lots of clouds still lingering in Chicagoland, but some of the far western suburbs already starting to see the sunshine, and we'll all see it before the afternoon is out. Heading to a high of 40 degrees overnight tonight, a low of 28. And then looking at it tomorrow in the evening, maybe some rain, high of 43. No rain on Sunday with a high of 40. Right now, 33 O'Hare, 32 Midway, and 33 degrees along Chicago's lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. The markets are firmly in the red this afternoon. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Lisa Parenti.
Rob, that's right, and we're headed for a deeper shade of red as the Dow now sinks 182 points, or 0.75%, falling through the 25,300 level. NASDAQ lower by almost 1%, as is the S&P 500. The composite is losing 64 points and S&P down 24. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by 0.8%. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg thought February would produce around 180,000 new jobs. We got 20,000 instead. Winter weather can take some of the blame. The construction industry lost 31,000 jobs, but hiring slowed also in education, hospitality, and health. Now, housing starts did rebound last in January, led by the single-family sector. Building permits increased to a nine-month high, so that's a sign the property market could be stabilizing. We have losses for crude oil futures down more than 2% to $55.38 a barrel. Back to you, Rob and Cisco.
Thanks so much, Elisa. Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, we'll talk about the disappointing jobs report. Also, Governor J.B. Pritzker unveils his income tax plan. Who would win and who would lose under the plan?
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and today's entrepreneur works in the marijuana industry. Yeah, it's an industry now that it's legal in some parts of the country.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Governor Pritzker has presented his proposal for a graduated state income tax. We'll take a closer look in our next segment. Right now, the government jobs report for February is today's headliner. Let's break it down with the help of Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Chris, a lot of folks obviously see this as a disappointing report. What do you make of it?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's actually, I don't think it's really all that bad when you look at the details. Only 20,000 jobs added, which is certainly alarming at first glance. But, you know, what it really is a refutation of the 311 in January. I would call this more a seasonal adjustment problem than a sudden slowdown. And the reason is that there's all kinds of ancillary evidence in the report suggesting that that job growth was fine. For example, the household employment survey picked up a nice increase, the unemployment rate fell, and average hourly earnings growth was absolutely robust with a 0.4% increase.
So do you anticipate this is more of a blip as opposed to something that might be the beginning of a trend of these sorts of reports?
I think it is. But that said, you know, the stock market reaction is understandable. The three-month average job growth was 186,000. That's slower than the 200-plus we've gotten used to in recent months. So there is some evidence the economy is slowing. And then, you know, look at some of the other things we got today. For example, housing starts, which they rose more than expected, but not enough to offset recent months of weakness. And, you know, that's been a pattern we've seen in a lot of the data, from consumer confidence, which bounced back partway, to the ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing surveys, which are also weaker in February than they were before the government shutdown.
Are the after effects of the government shutdown still being felt in the latest batch of reports? I mean, how long will that take to completely roll off the books?
Well, I think the answer to that is certainly yes. And part of the reason is that the hard data we're getting from the Commerce Department is still delayed by a full month. And what that means is that we're still getting numbers for things like retail sales and consumption that are shutdown affected. It's going to be another month before we get clean data. But I think it's not the only thing. And, for example, when you look at the huge downward revisions to European growth forecasts from both the OECD and the European Central Bank yesterday, the primary reason is because trade between Europe and China is weakening. It's really hard to blame that on things like the shutdown and the tariffs. I think what we're seeing is actually weaker global growth, and some of that is spilling over, affecting the U.S. It takes the form of, for example, lower oil prices, which is hurting income in the oil sector, and, of course, weaker exports.
And the trade situation between the U.S. and China, is that really starting to create some drag on the economy, not only in the United States, but around the world as well? And, I mean, does the risk of a recession, does that exist now because of that trade uncertainty?
Well, it's certainly a factor, and you know, there's even a case to be made that some of the weakness in Chinese demand for European exports is because they don't need equipment to make stuff to sell here. But I think the bigger issue with U.S.-China trade is that China is cracking down on credit creation. Last year, debt rose by almost 10% in China. This year, they're going to try to limit the increase to about 6%. But they, at the same time, they need stimulus to grow their economy. And those two things just are not compatible. I think the result is that China's economy is slowing down. It has a huge global influence. And when you put on top of that the Federal Reserve, which tightened significantly last year, European Central Bank stopped easing, monetary conditions globally are tighter. I'm not worried about recession this year in the U.S., but I think it would be naive to think that we are going to have anything like strong growth. I'm expecting a sharp slowdown.
With China slowing down like that, obviously it has a big impact beyond China and in the U.S. It's a global economic issue. Is there pressure from other countries for the U.S. and China to figure something out on this trade deal?
Absolutely, there is. I think it's the most important thing on the agenda right now. And even within the governments of China and the U.S., there's huge pressure to get a deal done. I think for that reason, it will be done. But for the same, well, when it is completed, I think it's unlikely activity is going to go back to where it was before. It will be positive, but it's not going to offset the fact that global credit is tighter and global economic activity is slowing down.
Chris Lowe, Chief Economist, FTN Financial, based in New York. Coming up, the nuts and bolts of Governor Pritzker's proposed tax plan.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has unveiled his proposed graduated state income tax plan. Let's learn more from Adam Schuster, Budget and Tax Research Director of the Illinois Policy Institute based in Chicago. Adam, welcome to the program. What are the details inside this proposal? Governor Pritzker ran on it as a candidate. He won decisively, and now he's unveiling it. So what are some of the details inside this tax plan that he rolled out not too long ago?
Well, I'll tell you what the governor claims, and I'll tell you the concerns with it. So the governor claims that this is a tax plan that could cut taxes for 97% of income earners and solve the state's fiscal problems while paying for billions of dollars for new spending and being used for property tax relief. The concern that we have is that there's nothing that says that these will be what the rates will actually look like if we change the Constitution to allow a progressive income tax. A progressive income tax means you could tax different groups of people at different rates. Currently, the Constitution requires a flat tax, so everybody's income is treated the same. And the problem is that his rates as proposed simply don't raise enough money. They don't raise enough money even to close the state's current fiscal problems, much less finance billions of dollars of new spending. And we think if he actually tries to fulfill his spending promises, we're going to see tax rates that hit everybody. They hit the middle class. And that's consistent with what happened in the last state that switched to a progressive income tax. It was Connecticut in 1996. And after the switch, it initially only hit the rich, but then over a few years, middle income taxes went up by about 13%.
Well, let's take a look at Illinois' neighbors, because some of Wisconsin and Indiana and Michigan in recent years have all run marketing campaigns in Illinois saying, if you're sick of all the politics and the taxes, come to our state, things are better. Wisconsin does have a progressive income tax, as does Iowa. You have flat taxes in Indiana and Michigan. If enacted, how would Illinois' progressive tax structure stack up with the rates in Iowa and Wisconsin?
Well, Illinois would be the only state that has what's called an income tax recapture on income of over $1 million. The only other two states that have that in the nation are New York and Connecticut. So typically, progressive income taxes are marginal rates or graduated rates, meaning you only pay the top rate on the percentage of your income that's over that amount. What Pritzker has proposed is that once you make $1 million, all of your income would be topped at this, would be taxed at this top 7.95% rate. None of our neighboring states have that. And what that essentially means is if you're making $999,000, right, and you earn an additional dollar of income, you actually lose about $8,500 in taxes by earning your first $1 million. So it's a very economically harmful tax. Again, we're worried that this is going to be a middle-class tax hike and that it's a blank check for them to raise taxes on everybody. But under our neighboring state's plans, another thing to note is that the median income family in Illinois would actually pay more under Wisconsin rates or under Iowa's rates. And in Iowa, it'd be anybody making about $26,000 or more. And in Wisconsin, anybody making about $56,000 or more would pay more than they currently do in Illinois.
So during the campaign, it was talked about, you know, you need a constitutional amendment if you want to do this, at least as is. That's a heavy lift, not impossible, but a heavy lift. Are there other ways that the governor and the General Assembly might look at getting it done? I know one of the things that was sort of talked about by commentators was, hey, make it a high flat tax for everyone, but then offer very generous tax credits and that sort of thing for income earners who are on the lower end of the scale.
Yeah, that's one possibility, and it would probably be a less harmful way to do it than what's been proposed, because the progressive income tax, as proposed, our economist has looked at it, and it turns out that it would, you know, cost us a lot of jobs, about 53,000 jobs potentially, and up to $14 billion in lost economic growth. And you know, if you were to do the route, sort of what he called the artificial progressive income tax, where you raise the flat tax rate, but then you increase the deductions and exemptions, the risk is that a court could actually declare that unconstitutional because you're trying to get around the flat tax protection that's currently in the Constitution.
Thanks for the insight. Adam Schuster, Budget and Tax Research Director at Illinois Policy Institute. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, a growing Chicago company looking to extend its reach beyond medical marijuana. And Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. WBBM Business News is sponsored by Baird. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we are on track for the first losing week of the year and the worst week of the year. The Dow is down 178 points on the day, lower by 2.5% for the week. NASDAQ down 63, a loss approaching 3% this week. S&P falling 25 points. Lower by 2.6% for the week. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also in the red today, down almost 1%. Hiring was the weakest in February in more than a year, with just 20,000 jobs added last month. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg expected a number nine times that size. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
The USDA came out with their report at 11 o'clock. They raised or lowered stocks a little bit here and there in corn, beans, and wheat. We are similar to where we were before, maybe a little lower. Corn at the moment for July down 1.75, with December down 1.75 at 3.87 1/4. Beans for July down 8.75. November's down 8.5 at 8.28. and July wheat up 1¾ at 446¾. Mixed prices here on the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are lower. We'll see what's moving the markets.
In Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago medical marijuana company is getting into the quickly expanding market for cannabinoids.
The government jobs report for February is out. We'll put a spotlight on the local picture.
A man wounded in last month's Aurora workplace shooting is suing the Illinois State Police.
Former Army Intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning has been jailed for refusing to testify to a Virginia grand jury investigating WikiLeaks.
On Wall Street, the Dow down 163 points. NASDAQ is down 58. S&P down 22, and oil today is down 2%.
Back here with a forecast for today. Clouds giving way to sunshine this afternoon. Not nearly as cold, and a high today of 40. It's 34 degrees at O'Hare under cloudy skies as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Markets are losing ground today. To talk about it and maybe tell us why, we're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter, based in Hammond. Chuck, is this all basically the jobs report? Is that what's going on today?
Well, I think that certainly is part of it. You know, what we're seeing really is a continuation of what we've seen for really the last couple of weeks here, is that, you know, we're through earnings season, so the market's looking for kind of its next impulse. I think a lot of the potential optimism from a trade deal is already baked into the market. We're through earnings, so, you know, you've got a situation here where investors are kind of saying, what's, you know, the next thing that's going to drive this higher? It's hard to come up with that. Investors are taking some profits, and, you know, you're layering on top of that news, not just the news, you know, from Europe yesterday, which would imply that there is a, you know, slowdown going on there, but then the jobs report today wasn't exactly robust, and so now, you know, people are pivoting toward fears and concerns about the economy, and consequently, you get a sell-off today.
You say that the a trade deal, whenever it happens, whatever it looks like, may be already baked into the market. So that means that when it happens, we're not necessarily looking for a big surge on Wall Street.
No, I don't think so. I think we had the surge. If you go back to when the market bottomed, December 24th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had gone up over 4,000 points in about 2 months. I mean, that's a heck of a move. And it was obviously, you know, taking into account a number of positive factors, I think the trade deal being one of them. So I would not expect the market to really surge. You may get a one-day pop or a half-day pop, you know, on the signing of a deal, but I think, you know, a lot of that was already baked in, given the rally that we had since December 24th.
Well, Chuck, this term doesn't show up in many economics textbooks or in works that have received the Nobel Prize for economics, but it sounds like the markets are experiencing a case of the Mondays on a Friday.
Yeah. Well, they are, you know, and I think the, you know, the sometimes when you get through earnings season, the market, you know, has to take its cues from things other than corporate earnings, and it tends to kind of sometimes exaggerate those things. So you have more of a focus on, for example, a jobs report, because there isn't anything else out there to focus on, and I think you get what you're seeing today. Now, the thing is, though, I mean, at the end of the day, the market was due for a pullback, and if people are kind of wondering the extent of such a pullback, you know, we went up over 4,000 points, as I mentioned, from December 24th. It wouldn't be unusual for the market to give back, you know, at least one-third of that move, which would be about 1,500 points, or take it down to around 24,500 in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that would be a very normal, very typical correction. The one thing investors really should be watching right now, I mean, yes, look at the S&P 500. Yes, look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But watch the Dow Jones Transportation Average. I've talked about that a lot on your show here, because it is a very important barometer of future economic activity. And the Dow Jones Transportation Average is now down 11 straight trading days. So that is something that you really need to watch. I mean, if that continues to deteriorate, and again, today its percentage move is more than twice the down move in the Dow 30 right now. If that continues to deteriorate, it's going to be very difficult for the market to really, you know, sustain anything to the upside. So I think for the key for this market, quite frankly, you know, over the next few weeks
if we start, we'll need to start to see some strength or at least resiliency coming into the Dow Jones Transportation Average. And again, you know, it's on an 11-day downtrend, and I'll be curious to see how it behaves next week.
And does the transports down like that, is that saying something about the wider economy, maybe sort of a precursor to what may be going on that, that we just haven't seen in the data yet?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it is fair to say that the transports do act as a bit of the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. Again, you know, 11 trading days isn't, you know, enough to say we have a discernible trend in the transports, and it's saying that the economy is going to weaken and weaken dramatically. But, you know, if you and I have this discussion, you know, another 2 weeks from now, and the transports really haven't shown much of anything other than to the downside, yes, that begins to look a little ominous for the overall economy.
When the markets as a whole react to a particular data point, you know, how far into the weeds do they go to measure their reaction? For example, on the jobs report, where we had another analyst on earlier who said that if you look under the hood of the jobs report, yeah, everyone's going to focus on that 20,000 in February. But if you go down a couple of lines, it's not that bad. When the markets react to a number, do they react to the top line number, or do they check under the hood a little bit?
It almost depends on when the news is released and to what the kind of the underlying trend is of the market. I mean, again, you know, to repeat, going into today, we had a market that was kind of on the soft side here for the last 6, 7, 8 trading days. And so that news was kind of being reported into a market that had been showing a little downside. You know, I think, true, if you look at the report, you know, there were some upside revisions, I think, to both December and January. So it wasn't as bad as people think. But, you know, we're in a market environment right now, though, where not as bad may not just cut it. Again, to put things in context, we're up 4,200 points in a little over 2 months, which is obviously, again, showing a fair amount of optimism baked into the market. So, you know, not as bad doesn't really cut it in an environment like that. You really need to see, you know, good stuff. We didn't get it in the jobs report, quite frankly.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecasts newsletter based in Hammond, Indiana. Coming up next, Entrepreneur Friday, the head of a Chicago company that's making strides in the expanding market for marijuana and related products.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. This afternoon, we're exploring medical marijuana and the growing demand for it and other products. We welcome Joe Caltabiano, President, Cresco Labs here in Chicago. Joe, there's probably really no way to even quantify it. It starts with medical marijuana. More states are legalizing it altogether. That may happen here in Illinois. It seems like an industry that is just really right at the beginning of being able to really take a big jump.
Yeah, we were excited to start this back in 2013 and really go live in 2015 when Illinois launched the medical cannabis program here. And from that point, we've expanded into 9 other markets and grow the industry along with a lot of our peers in the space. And seeing it evolve over time has certainly been exciting, and really looking forward to the future holds.
So tell us about CBD. What is it? I think a lot of people, they think of medical marijuana, they think of just sort of the traditional plant that you smoke. Tell us about CBD and maybe the impact it's having.
Sure. Within cannabis, you have 2 main cannabinoids. You have THC, and that's the one that people know that provides a euphoric state. And then you have CBD, which is commonly known to relax muscles and treat some other symptoms. So at Cresco Labs, we produce products that have both cannabinoids, and we're also able to isolate and create products that just have THC, just have CBD. And it's different products for different folks in different need states, and we're excited to address all the needs of various patients around Illinois and really nationwide at this point.
Who is jumping into the marijuana space? Is it the like a serial entrepreneur or disruptor types, or is it, you know, somebody who had the hookup behind the high school gym 10 years ago and now they've gone legit?
You know, for the most part, it's business people such as myself and my partners that have gotten in this industry to create an industry that is filled with regulation and professionalism and really elevate from that backyard person who was involved in the industry for a long time. It's elevated into professionals and doctors and lawyers and pharmacists and really raising this industry, excuse me, to a new level that is on par and why you think you see big alcohol starting to look at the space, big tobacco, big pharmaceutical industries, because the level of professionalism has risen from the early stages and all the stereotypes that existed 10, 20, 30 years ago.
With former House Speaker John Boehner on the board of a cannabis company, do you see that lobbying power, coming to bear in Washington, where marijuana or cannabis is taken off of the list of narcotics, and then you can actually get some real money from banks and funds?
Sure, you're seeing it in Illinois. When Cresco Labs started, we had an administration that was certainly for this, and then you had a new administration come in. So you've seen this evolution not only locally in Illinois, but as Cresco has grown nationally, you're certainly seeing a national platform in D.C. that is starting to push this movement forward. And both sides of the aisle, there seems to be support to continue to push federal legalization or states' rights or different initiatives that would certainly be a positive movement for companies like Cresco Labs in the future.
What do you do as far as, I'm thinking, just security of the place? It's got to just be a nightmare, not only to protect the product, but also to make sure that you don't have customers coming in who are trying to fool you into thinking that they have the approval to get it.
Sure. On the building side, where our facilities are, where we grow, manufacture, and distribute the products, it's a 40,000-square-foot building with 159 cameras and 24-hour security to monitor every aspect of the security side of this business. And then at the retail stores, there's ID check, there's kind of points of entry that are secure. So security's always been a big concern, but I'll tell you, in Illinois, we haven't had any issues that have drawn any attention, and the industry is operating very smoothly, I think, because there was a lot of intent behind security very early on.
Joe Caltabiano, president of Cresco Labs in Chicago, and representatives of Cresco Labs will be part of a discussion on marijuana during our At Issue program this weekend. You can hear more at 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Sunday right here on News Radio WBBM. And still to come, how the Chicago area is faring in the jobs market.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Labor Department employment report for February is out. 20,000 new jobs for last month. New jobs created last month. That's well below expectations. So let's take a look at what's happening locally with Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President for Challenger Gray and Christmas, based in Chicago. Rick, what is the February jobs report telling us about the employment picture in the Chicagoland area?
We tend to sit in the middle of everything. We're never the leader or the laggard, so this is a pretty accurate piece of data for us. When you're looking at the jobs creation, it's hard to solve that last 4% unemployment. I mean, it's almost impossible. As a matter of fact, if you get to zero unemployment, you get a little nervous about inflation and a bunch of other things. So it's not a surprise. The forward-looking indicator that we need to pay attention to is the uptick in announced layoffs and downsizings, and that's going to be a better indication of what the future holds.
What are some of the big drivers of employment in Chicago? I mean, not only just in February, but recently.
Sure. So you've got the things that have made the news, like Ford's commitment to the manufacturing facility, Coyote Logistics staying and adding, the tech sector. There's a lot of commitment on the part of Chicago industry and business to embrace and support technology and opportunities for that. University of Illinois Chicago campus has got a good program, and there are lots of places where they're supporting that. And many of the suburban companies of size, those that are in that 5,000 to 10,000 employees, are actually, providing transportation, buses to trains that are Wi-Fi enabled to bring those people in. So that's always an area. Certainly, demographically, healthcare, elder care, those are there. We have a strong agribiz, but the trade, the combination of trade and yields against demand makes that a little bit more problematic. So, we have a strong banking, financial, and insurance component to Chicago.
So it seems like a healthy mix of both white collar and blue collar jobs.
Yeah, it really is, and it helps that given the location, it's no accident that we are arguably the two busiest airports in the country, and many, even if you look at associations and not-for-profits outside of Washington, D.C., we're the second common home for that because of the convenience of getting from A to B and then the logistics of that. So even the logistics supply operations for Amazon or whoever often have a big component here in the Midwest and Chicago.
Other parts of the state kind of hurting on the job and population front is the fact that so many companies are moving their headquarters here and have been doing that for several years. Does that sort of make Chicago a center of gravity? That it means that we should expect a healthy job market here for a while?
Yeah, well, for one thing, it takes a long time for economies to adjust to changes. So even if the economy suddenly was to go through a contraction, it can be anywhere from a 6-month time to react or even a year long reaction time. The issue, I think, for Illinois, over and above the pension issues and the financial stability of the state, is really infrastructure and access to the work. And so, to your point, if you're in a rural community downstate, those towns and businesses that are trying to embrace that and support it, you can do that. But telecommuting and all those other things, we really need to get ahead of the curve on that because we have people that can do the work. They're not here. They're not going to come here. We have to figure out a way to get the work to them.
Rick Cobb, Executive Vice President, Challenger Gray and Christmas here in Chicago. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55, the latest business news from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow now down 143 points. That's an improvement off a little more than 0.5%. NASDAQ falling 52 points. S&P down 21. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by 0.2% now. Mattel is facing a class action lawsuit brought by a group of investors who say the toy maker misled them about the sales strength of its Barbie and Hot Wheels brands. After touting the increased demand for its signature dolls and toy cars, Mattel revealed that it expects slower sales growth for those same toys this year. Mattel has not responded to requests for comment. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.